Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye.
Am I on? Yes, good. Lovely. Okay. Just sort out my multitude of papers, if you bear with me. Don't need that. Okay, so, as Annabelle's just read for you, I'll today be speaking on Luke 6, verses 37 to 42, on the topic of interpersonal judgment. And what I mean when I say interpersonal is the way in which we as Christians judge each other within the church and within our lives outside of the church, judging other Christians and non-Christians. And a sort of good analogy for that, I think, that I came across is when you're driving. And you're driving along the road, maybe on the motorway, and everyone who's driving faster than you is an absolute maniac. And everyone who's driving slower than you is just taking far too long. And the speed at which you are driving is this perfect Goldilocks state that it's just right. And it's about this journey, and it's just only your state is the right state. And it's that idea behind it. Okay? So in this passage, Jesus is talking to what was referred to earlier on in the chapter as a great multitude, the disciples were part, and many people from Judea and Jerusalem and beyond. So it's rather like he's speaking to us, because we are his followers. You know, it's a very basic application there. So if we can have the next slide, please. Lovely. So it's important to realize that in this passage, Jesus is not ruling out the principles of discernment or church discipline. Okay, so they have smiley faces next to them, so they're okay. He's in fact tackling the issue of how we find faults within each other in the context of our Christian lives, and also criticizing people without justification, and without examining ourselves first. So that's just a brief before we start. So next slide. So in verse 37, Jesus gives us some very clear guidelines, and those are judge not, condemn not, and forgive. So we can see here that there are two negative commands, judge not, condemn not, and one positive command. And the nature of these commands reflects their outcome. So when we judge and condemn, we not only cause our brothers and sisters to stumble, but we also start to stumble over ourselves. Because in order to judge someone in the way that Jesus is talking about here, you have to have pride. You have to see beyond your own faults without realizing them yourself. So you not only cause other people to stumble, but you yourself will stumble. Because we're blind to our own faults, and we're living in a way that is not pleasing to God, and we don't even know it. But the alternative, forgiveness, provides a much better path. Instead of causing each other to stumble, we can lift each other up, because it encourages us to be reconciled. This being something that we ourselves want to experience, God demands that we act in such a way ourselves. If we want something, if we want to be treated in such a way, it's the golden rule, isn't it? Then we must act in that way ourselves towards others. So this idea of forgiveness is reinforced in verse 38, which is on the next slide there. So give and it will be given to you. So you notice the word there, give. It's an active term. It's not passively just not judging. It's giving. And, the word give is in the word forgiveness for a reason. Yeah. So you're going beyond simply not judging someone and forgiving them for any wrongdoing against us. The verse later says that with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now, in other words, Jesus is saying that God blesses an attitude of forgiveness rather than one of judgment and condemnation. Okay. So then, verse 39, if we go on the next slide, talks about the pit. Okay, so we have, in verse 39, he says, he also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? If we can't identify and deal with our own struggles, and that's deal with, we can't just see them and say, okay, I've got these problems, now I'll go and judge this person. You have to first deal with your own problems before you even think about giving guidance to another believer or another person. But it would be like trying to feed a baby cereal with a blindfold on. It can only end in a messy disaster. Then we have in verse 40, Jesus is then talking about, in verse 40 it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. This idea of being fully trained means to be completely and fully like Jesus. And that should be our constant aim throughout the Christian life. It's our end point that we see. It's what we truly aspire, we should truly aspire to be like. Jesus asks his people to be different Jesus asks his people to be different so that people can see them as approachable and that true community can be created on the basis of the church. Okay, so next slide. So we have three questions here. Number one, why was it important for Jesus to teach this? So the Pharisees and other religious leaders at the time were practically living in condemnation of people. They couldn't see past their own pride and legalism in order to break through to people. And so there was this alienation between the religious leaders and the non-clergy people. I use clergy anachronistically there. And like I've already said, Jesus asks his people to be different so that people can approach them. If you're sat there judging someone and being quite vocal about it, perhaps, people aren't going to come to you and ask you about this Jesus fellow. They're not going to be like, oh, so, you know, you sound like you'll be able to see past my faults and just tell me about Jesus. And you know, they're not going to say that to you. They're not going to allow you in. Judging people with condemnation only alienates them and will only alienate them from the truth that we want to express as Christians. It's far better to forgive people and treat them with the love and respect that they deserve, or by grace they are given, perhaps not deserved, in order to reach them with the message. Okay, so second question, why is it still important today? So as Christians, when we deal with someone not with condemnation or judgment, but with love and forgiveness, it's extremely refreshing for that person. So for someone not to encounter, oh, why have you done this? You idiot. What, you know, you're just a fool. You're wrong. For someone to encounter just, okay, so that's your problem. That's fine. Let's see how we can deal with that. And let me tell you about this Jesus fellow, by the way. He's a pretty cool guy. I'm sure you'd like to hear about him. It's not about being perfect, because none of us are perfect ourselves. I often like to refer to church as a room full of hypocrites, because, you know, we are in many ways. And basically, treating someone with love and forgiveness means that we can enjoy true fellowship together and experience the true brotherhood that we're invited to as God's children. And this is in a church context here. So it means that we can enjoy true fellowship together and experience the true brotherhood that we are invited into as God's children. We can't do that if we're cross-firing each other all the time. It's like, well, you did this and you did this. No, you can't do that. You have to just get on with it in a sense. You can't just always be sniping each other from every angle. You have to be treating each other as brothers. And in a brotherly relationship, you don't, well, on a good day, you don't pick at each other's faults. You may not see them as something that's right. It's not necessarily right. But you look past them and see the person that's underneath those faults. And that's who you deal with. Okay, and then in a sort of wider world level, so there's a huge amount of unforgiveness and condemnation in our society today. And that's only made easier by the mass media that we have. It's the general election coming up, you know. What we think about many different political candidates, different people, will be determined largely by the media and how they present those people. And so it's so easy in today's world to fall into this trap of judging because of what we see maybe on a screen. We may not have even met these people in person, and yet we are already judging them before we see them, because we're seeing them in pixel form. So it's so easy to fall into that trap. And it's a challenge, not only on a personal level, but on that society level. And it's easy. It's like our default setting as humans, as imperfect children of God, to condemn people. It's our default. But Jesus tells us to accept these faults of ours. He tells us to lay our own faults at the foot of the cross so that we can give genuine guidance to other believers. Which then leads on to the third question: what can I do to follow Jesus' teaching and example? In verse... pardon me. Yes, in verse 42, Jesus says to take the log out of our own eyes so we can see the speck and take the speck out of the others. This metaphor is especially relevant because it requires that we take action. It's reinforcing what was said earlier about not being passive but taking action on this issue. We take the log out of our eye, and so our attitude changes. And why is that? It's because it's easier to forgive someone when you know the extent of your own sin. When you think of anyone who's trespassed against you, just think for a moment and think about what you have been saved from by the cross, what you're still being saved from by the cross, and what you're going to be saved from by the cross. Then try and judge someone. Is what they've done to you so big that it can't be forgiven? If God can forgive anything? I don't think so, personally. So if we can go on the next slide to summarize that. So Jesus encourages self-examination before we scrutinize others. We have to examine ourselves and where we are with God before we even can think about judging anyone else. And because we have a change of mind after this self-examination, we have a change of heart and a change of attitude. And that change of attitude reflects a different sort of action. We'll find that after we've changed our mindset and we've examined ourselves and we've seen ourselves for who we really are, sinners, we won't then judge others. We might approach them about something, but we won't do it in a way that condemns, but rather will come alongside someone and say, well, in practice, it's very different what you could say in practice, isn't it? So you come alongside someone and act and be more collaborative with them because you've examined yourself and the sin that you yourself carry. And that's no different to yourself. I think it was meant to be quite brief, so I think might do us well to just pray, I think. So. Father God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the fact that you came down to wash away all our sins, Lord. But Lord, we pray that you would remind us that we're still not perfect. We're saved, but we're not perfect. And Lord, we pray that we would just apply that when dealing with other people. That we would approach them not with condemnation or judgment, but with love and forgiveness, Lord. And that through that, you would just foster the brotherhood of your kingdom, Lord. Just help us to be more patient with each other, Lord. And allow us to be reconciled with one another whenever one of us does the other wrong. We pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen.